Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Now, at your service, it's the KMOX Dollars and Cents Show with Dave Simons from the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hello, 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 St. Louis and surrounding areas. You indeed are listening to another edition of the Dollars and Cents Show, heard right here on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Howdy, hello, welcome. My name is Dave Simons, certified financial planner and just all-around nice guy. Also happen to be head of the Simons and Cordes Wealth Management Group, located within the friendly confines of UBS Financial Services. Hope you're all enjoying yourselves so far on this Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, I get to be sort of your lead-in for those of you who are at some point going to turn over and watch that big game. And well, thank you so much for taking time out of your afternoon and tuning into KMOX and specifically to this show. I know some of you perhaps are on your way right now to maybe a Super Bowl party. Others will be hosting a few friends, and if you're like me, you're not going anywhere. You're just sitting at home with me, either yourself or your spouse or a friend over. In full disclosure, I am hosting this show remotely from my own home office. And it has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. There's some other personal things going on that just keep me around the house, and I can't get downtown. And thankfully, we do have these technological innovations that we all really learned how to use during the pandemic. I know that there for a while, most of the KMOX hosts, and I'm sure this was true across the country, were learning to do their shows for a brief amount of time from their homes. And I know I did the Dollars and Cents show along with some other things for my home office. And here I am today getting out the old headphones and little microphone, and we'll make the most of it for the next couple of hours. But, you know, it's all about the information, right? And speaking of the Super Bowl, how many of you know about that classic Super Bowl indicator? That's for lack of a better phrase, that's really what it's called. And it's one of those phenomena that it's really interesting. It's a superstitious thing because obviously there's no really concrete reason that this thing should have ever worked. But it did for the longest time. Have you heard of this? It's when an original NFL team from way back decades and decades ago, before the AFL and NFL even merged and the Super Bowl started in the late 60s, even before that, when the NFL was a much smaller organization, any team from those original days, so it, you know, the Packers, the Bears, the Redskins, some other teams, of course, whenever they would win the Super Bowl, or I'm sorry, yes, it started then when the Super Bowl started in the late 60s. And this phenomenon was true like more than 80% of the time going forward. When one of the original NFL teams would win the Super Bowl, the stock market would post a positive return. When one of the newer teams, like a, you know, Denver Broncos or, you know, an AFL type of team would win, the Dolphins, for example, if they would win, the stock market declined. Now, it didn't work that way every time, but a majority of the time. But like any financial theorem, it works until it doesn't. So we fast forward to pretty much the last decade, and it has failed miserably. In fact, 6 of the last 7 years, it hasn't worked. Like a year ago, do you remember who won a year ago at this time, who won the Super Bowl? I know for those of us who are still mad that the Rams left, it's hard to forget the fact that the LA Rams won last year. The Rams are considered an original NFL team. As many of you know, they started in Cleveland way back in the day, 80, 90 years ago. And then in the mid-40s, right after World War II, that's when they moved to LA. And they were there forever, of course, until they went to St. Louis and back to LA. Well, it didn't work, right? Because we know that last year in 2022, it was the worst year since 08. And you Chiefs fans out there, you'll note that when your team won 3 years ago, that's an AFL team, which means the market should not have performed well for the year, but it did. Now, you could argue, well, it was on its way to a big decline, right? That's when the pandemic first started. Everything was shut down. The market declined big time, and then it had this huge run-up as we reopened the economy and we had all the stimulus checks come out and whatnot. But bottom line, if you hear about the Super Bowl indicator, and it's interesting, I haven't heard much of it this year for a change, and I think it's because what I just talked about, 6 of the last 7 years, it hasn't worked. But I will tell you one indicator that's a more recent phenomenon that does work. We saw it big time a year ago. We've seen it consistent over the years, but 2 times in particular really stand out. I'm talking about newer companies in emerging industries that decide, you know, if we're really going to make it big and get on everybody's radar, I know we don't have as much cash as the big boys do, but we're going to make a splash here. And we're going to spend all the available cash that we have on hand. And we're going to advertise worth millions of dollars on the Super Bowl. Yes, these IPOs that come out. Well, Chuck Jaffe writes for MarketWatch, and he did some research, and he basically found an interesting phenomenon. If you are a new company and you establish your IPO, your initial public offering, and you go public, if you decide that you're going to spend millions to advertise on the Super Bowl, within 5 years of your IPO, there's a good chance your company will ultimately fail. Isn't that something? I talked about back in 2000, right at the peak of the internet bubble before it burst. And I think a lot of you should remember who played in that Super Bowl. It was January 30th of 2000. We got some Hall of Famers in there on that team. Kurt Warner and some others, of course. Marshall Faulk, Orlando Pace, Isaac Bruce, should be Torrey Holt, but we can go on and on. That was January 30th of 2000. all of these newer fangled internet companies that weren't making any money, and the only reason they were staying afloat was because of private money coming in. I think the poster child of that was that little dog sock puppet that represented Pets.com. Well, they went under within a year. But even last year, so a year ago at this time, I just talked about it, the Rams winning the Super Bowl against, the Broncos, of course. That was Tom Brady, right? No, that couldn't have been. Who did they beat? The Bengals, of course, the Bengals. Because I remember now I was rooting for Cincinnati for a variety of reasons. They couldn't have played the Bucks in the same division. But last year was considered and called the Crypto Bowl because so many of the advertisements that were on last year were representative of these newer crypto companies. And the poster child would be now the now defunct, now bankrupt, perhaps even a criminal enterprise to some degree, FTX. And they had the now famous or infamous Don't Miss Out campaign that featured Larry David. Remember some of those ads? He channeled his Curb Your Enthusiasm personality and basically saying, I don't think so. When somebody was trying to tell him, no, this crypto thing and FTX is the real deal. Well, turned out, no, he should have stayed with it because I don't think so turned out to be the right one. So we'll see. When we come back, I will highlight some of the bigger names that are advertising, and you're going to notice a little bit of a trend that's gone the other way. So if we have seen recently all of these newer IPOs and these companies that advertise, if you're a shareholder of these companies, be very wary of it. I'm just telling you, because this is real. This is real data that shows there's a good chance these newer IPOs may not even be around in a few years. It's a phenomenon that makes sense that I want to explore. So how does that translate to this year? Are there any newer companies that are trying to make a splash? Is it more of the traditional companies? We'll talk about that. And then we'll transition to, I think, the real reason that people have listened to this Dollars and Cents show since 1996. And that's our take on the financial markets, the stock market, the bond market, what's been happening and where we are going from here. So that sets the stage on this remote edition of the Dollars and Cents show. My name is Dave Simons and we shall return.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
He's back, Dave Simons, and more of Dollars and Cents on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back. It is 3:19 in St. Louis. This is a Super Bowl edition of Dollars and Cents. And we've been having a little fun talking about the Super Bowl indicator and how that worked until it didn't. Six of the last 7 years, it has not worked. Where the one of the original old NFL teams, when they win, supposedly that market does well. And when an old AFL or a more recent AFL, we still can go back 50 years, 60 years, but AFL type teams, when they win, the market had not done well. And that actually worked through the 70s, much of the 80s, kind of the 90s, and then it has really waned. And of course, no surprise, because let's be honest, this was more of a weird anomaly that worked for a while. There was nothing concrete that tied it. But I did talk about something that is real. And that is, be very wary if you are the owner of a newer stock, something that went public within the last few years, and you're sitting back enjoying the Super Bowl, and you see the company that you've invested in that's relatively new spending millions of dollars on a Super Bowl ad. Now, your first thought might be, well, that's really cool. They must be doing very well. No wonder the stock perhaps has been performing well lately. But recent research shows that that's not the best use of capital for newer companies, and many of them eventually fail. Now, why would they even do that? Aren't these smart people, these entrepreneurs who start out? You know what it really is, my friends? As much as anything else, it's ego. It really is. They want their name out there. And keep this in mind, when you advertise for one of the networks, and this time it's Fox, you do get executive seats there in that stadium. You get to expense that, by the way, on shareholder money, because it is an expense. But ultimately, it's usually not good for the company. So those companies that are maybe only a couple of years old, they do tend to overspend a lot on Super Bowl ads. That's just one of the things. A lot of times, the stadium naming rights, there's another indicator. Have you heard about that? So many newer companies decide, get the biggest bang for their buck. Let's go to the next level. In fact, let's just jump three levels right away, and we will put our name on the downtown stadium. We've seen that in St. Louis, right? Savas Center or even the TWA Dome. We've seen that a number of times. But this is true all across the country. So whether it's a Super Bowl ad, naming rights, whatever. So these companies might have a lot of cash early on. They hire a lot, they spend a lot, and then they become a little egotistical and get ahead of themselves. And this is what happens. So keep that in mind, folks. If you see one of your IPO companies start to advertise, watch it very carefully. One more before we leave this. I find this interesting. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? There is a company that, here it is. So there is a company for the 10th consecutive year that is going to air a 30-second ad. It's an Illinois-based company. It is the longest-running automotive business to consecutively advertise during the bid game. It's the only car-related, auto-related company to advertise 10 years in a row. And it's based in Illinois and it's called WeatherTech. I had to look it up. I don't recall the WeatherTech ads in the past, which I guess maybe I don't pay as much attention to Super Bowl ads as I think I do. But they're going to air yet another 30-second ad. Now, why do I bring that up more than that? It's just kind of an interesting stat. Because the auto industry, the automakers, which historically have been among the largest Super Bowl advertisers, they're not this year. They're bypassing it. Yes, you'll see an ad or two from GM. I looked this up. There's one from Kia, Jeep. Porsche says it's going to air a spot before the game, but it's in collaboration with Paramount. But they've really, really pulled back. And I think it's because they've been investing billions of dollars now in EVs, electric vehicles. I just don't think they have as much disposable money anymore to spend tens of millions of dollars advertising at the Super Bowl. And so not only that, I think they are worried maybe if we do go into a recession, some kind of an economic downturn, that they just want to start hoarding some of that cash right now. So IPOs this year seem to be out. Crypto is definitely out. Automakers, there aren't out, but they pulled back. But you know who's in? Look for it. You'll see it. Booze, alcohol, in big time. So Anheuser-Busch, for many, many years, has been the sole advertiser in the alcohol space. In fact, they pay a premium for that. They not only pay to advertise for their own commercials, but they then pay even more to become the exclusive advertiser in that space. Not this year. AB is still going to be prevalent. You will still see Anheuser-Busch ads during the Super Bowl. But they've decided it's okay to let their competitors in. They don't want to spend as much. So it's fairly rare, but you are going to see now Super Bowl ads from Coors, Heineken, Diageo, which is the parent company of Guinness, along with their Scotch. I'm not sure which they will advertise, but I suspect you'll see Guinness there. Even Cognac, Remy Martin, some of their expensive brands. So you're going to see a lot of different and newer, not newer companies, but newer ads from some of these alcohol companies that have never advertised before. So there you go. If you're heading to a Super Bowl party, you can wow your friends with this information. When you see a Coors or Heineken, you can say, hey, Bob, did you just notice that? You know, they typically don't advertise at the Super Bowl because, well, our own Anheuser-Busch is typically paid a premium for exclusivity, and they decided not to. So now you're probably going to see Guinness and Cognac as well, and they're going to be amazed. And then you're not done. When you see an automotive ad, you're going to say, by the way, the automotive industry has really pulled back, so pay attention. You may not see them as much. Same with newer IPO companies, probably not as much. And you will be the life of the party. You are welcome. All right, enough of the Super Bowl stuff. Let's talk a little bit about financial markets and the stock market. Folks, it was on this very show a week ago. And yes, I hosted Dollars and Cents a week ago. That's 2 weeks in a row. I can't tell you the last time I've actually hosted Dollars and Cents on consecutive weeks. It has to be at least a year ago, if not longer. But here we are on Super Bowl Sunday. A week ago, I made the mention that near term, the market seemed to be way overbought. We were seeing greed come back into the market. Some of the hot meme stocks from 2021 were getting interest again in the early part of 2023. It's like people didn't learn their lesson. There wasn't enough pain. I really don't like to see that. And I talked about it last week. I also said, look, for those of us who are long-term investors, this message is for you. You can kind of ignore what I'm about to say, because what I am discussing here is near-term. Long-term investors, and that's really the theme of this show, we shouldn't really get too worked up over corrections and declines. We've got our own unique, individualized financial plan that we are keeping our eye on. And corrections are built into that. Bear markets are built into that. No big deal. But I still like to address the near-term moves in the market. It's just part of the show. It's part of the fabric. And a week ago, I talked about the fact that this market seemed to be seeing too much greed for my liking and that we were probably due for a bit of a pullback. Well, wouldn't you know it, here a week later, yeah, we had our first down week of the year. In fact, it was the first down week since mid-December. Now, it wasn't much. It wasn't. The Dow only fell a little bit. The S&P 500 on a percentage basis was down 1.1%. It was the NASDAQ, that tech-heavy growth index, that was down the most. It fell 2.4%, which is typical. When the market falls, usually it's the NASDAQ leading the way. So no surprise, and I don't know that we're done yet. I'm not into market predictions, but I can't believe that just after 1 week, we're going to go right back to seeing the beginning of this bull market of 23 just extend farther and farther up. One of the main reasons, which we'll get to, boy, is there a doozy of an economic report that's coming out Tuesday. Yeah, it is going to drive the market one way or the other. I'll get to that momentarily. Now, on the positive side of things, we did see on Friday the University of Michigan, they come out with their index of U.S. consumer sentiment. They show it now at a 13-month high. 13-month high. The reading being 66.4. So it's interesting, my friends, that Americans, for the most part, in some sentiment indicators, we worry about the economy. We hear that there's a good chance of a recession. And yet some of the numbers actually look pretty good. And this is showing up in this consumer sentiment. And the consumer sentiment now is at a 13-month high. So on the one side, when we're asked, hey, do you think you're going to be okay 6 months from now? The majority of Americans say, yeah, I think I'm going to be okay. But then when we talk about what do you think about the broader economy, then the numbers aren't so good. So it's interesting. When people look at their own individual life, just me, my household, I think we're going to be okay. I think my job is safe. And I know inflation is higher, but I'm managing to get along. And I think inflation's going to be a little bit lower in 6 months. I think it'll work out for me. Huh, but the Johnsons next door? Yeah, I don't think so. My neighborhood? The guys down at the factory? Yeah. So isn't that interesting? And that's showing up in the data. And we'll see if that has any kind of a self-fulfilling element to it. Oh, my goodness. It's already time for another break. Comes up very, very quickly. I want to stay on this vein, though, of what's been happening in the economy in this report. Let's go ahead and segue to that after the break. There's a really, really influential and market driving report coming out on Tuesday. If it's worse than expected, then this market's going to go down more. And there's just no way to sugarcoat it. I'll address it. But if it comes in lighter and gives the big boys and girl traders on Wall Street a better feeling about where things are going economically, then maybe this little correction is short-lived. I'll dig into that when we come back with more Dollars and Cents right after this.
Now, back to Dollars and Cents with Dave Simons on KMOX.
Well, you could ask yourself, who's going to win the Super Bowl? I don't know. 1.5-point favorite for the Eagles, which is kind of a pick'em game, if you will. You know, Ben Fredrickson had a really interesting article in the Post-Dispatch today, if you don't mind me talking sports just for a quick second. But he talked about how a lot of St. Louis football fans are torn. So many of us root for the Chiefs because, you know, they're in the state of Missouri and we don't have a football team anymore on this side of the state. So we've just pretty much adopted the Chiefs down the highway. I fall into that camp. And one of the main reasons, and I've talked about this before, is I have huge Kansas connections within my family. In fact, I've lived in Kansas for a number of years in various cities. Both my parents are from Kansas. One went to KU. I'm a Mizzou guy, of course. So there is that connection. And I've been a Chiefs fan since they were around. I mean, since I was a toddler, because of mainly my dad, who was a big Chiefs fan. So I'm all in. Now, what Ben Fredrickson said was, but I can't blame you if you can't stand the Chiefs. You don't want to root for anything out of Kansas City because it's not like baseball fans root for the Cardinals, although I don't, to me, that's not a connection because they still have a baseball team. But I think the big one is, hey, where was the Hunt family who owns the Chiefs in coming to our defense when the NFL was talking about maybe moving the Rams? They just kind of acquiesced in whether it's true or not, but the theory is because then the Chiefs would have the entire region to themselves and they could bring in even more business of having all these St. Louis football fans. Maybe so. So it'll be interesting to see if there was a poll. Okay, in St. Louis, how many of you are rooting for the Chiefs? How many of you want the Eagles to win? And how many of you simply don't care? And there are a lot of you raising your hands on that third one. Before we go any further, the disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed are those by me, Dave Simons, and are not those of UBS Financial Services, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. UBS reserves the right to the extent permitted under applicable law to retain and monitor all communications taking place through this program. All content, information, and opinions herein should be regarded as being general in nature and provided for current interest and information purposes only. It should not be construed as an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy nor recommend any security. Some content may come from third parties who are unaffiliated with UBS, and UBS has no control or responsibility over these third parties or their opinions, information, or materials. All right. Before we left, a little bit of a tease about this important economic piece of data coming out on Tuesday. What has concerned Wall Street and investors more than any other item, economic issue, over the past year? Think about it. Okay, time's up. Inflation. And the Fed's desire to slowly bring it back down to an acceptable level. For them, it's 2%. I think that's too low. I think that's a little too aggressive. I think they could bring it down 2.5 to 3% and we'd still be okay, but that's not my call. Jay Powell didn't ask me. So they would love to get it back to pre-pandemic levels of around 2%. Well, the January CPI number comes out Tuesday. And if you go back and look at the previous days of when the CPI was announced, the markets have gyrated wildly, not just that day, but in the ensuing days, as the market tries to adjust for the most recent data. And embedded in that is the market trying to figure out how the Fed reads the CPI number and what the Fed may or may not do because of that number. So here we go again. We've got, could this be a collision course? It could be if this CPI number comes in too hot. Because as I mentioned before, up until this past week, the market got off to an unbelievably strong start. Great turnaround from 2022, the biggest down year we've had since 08, the worst bond market ever, real estate starting to soften, which, by the way, I'm going to get to. I don't know about this hour, but certainly in the second hour. And so, and greed coming back in that I had just talked about. Meme stocks all jumping up again, which I do not like to see. And now we've got a CPI number coming out. Keep this number in mind. 6.2%. 6.2% inflation. That is the consensus number of all the economists taken together and the average consensus prediction for the January CPI inflation number that comes out Tuesday is 6.2%. That is a continuation of a decline because the December number that came out in January was 6.5%. A little bit of a drop, maybe not as aggressive as the Fed and the rest of us would like, but it still is a step in the right direction. I went back and looked at the peak of inflation, which was last June of 22. That's when the official CPI inflation number hit 9.1%. Now in July, then it fell 8.5. Now listen to these numbers here. You'll notice something. 9.1. 8.5, August is 8.3, September is 8.2. So inflation throughout last summer stayed stubbornly high. It was coming down, but not nearly as quickly as we would all would have liked. And that's why that bear market, even though it got some reprieve now and then, we never really got comfortable that it was over, because those inflation numbers, even though they were coming down, not fast enough. 9.1, 8.5, 8.3, 8.2. But then starting in October, the last three, we've really seen a bigger drop. From 8.2 in September, it fell to 7.7 in October, all the way to 7.1 in November, and then 6.5 in December. So basically, you're going from 8.2 to 6.5 in 3 months. That's the kind of decline that the Fed certainly wants to see. And for those of us who are invested, we'd all like to see. Because the Fed then would interpret a rapid decline in inflation as maybe their dirty work is over. And maybe they will raise one more time in March, just a quarter of 1%, 25 basis points, and then maybe they'll stop. But this is why the CPI number on Tuesday is so important, because what if the opposite happens? What if it's not 6.2? What if it's 6.4? Even 6.3, the market wouldn't like. Because we got that hot job number, that unemployment number that came out. Remember that one? The expectation was for like 187,000, and it came in at 515,000 a week ago Friday. Just a ridiculously hot number, and the market did not like it. That helped lead to the sell-off last week. You cannot have hot economic inflation numbers while the market's trying to move up. The two cannot go hand in hand right now. For this market to continue to move higher, you have to have a softening of economic data. You have to. So the last thing this market needed was that really strong jobs number that came out Friday. Good for the economy and good for all of us. But guess what? Wall Street doesn't care about us as workers. Wall Street cares about an unemployment number that might go a little higher. It's draconian, I know, but that's the way it works. Wall Street cares about inflation going down. And what Wall Street really wants, which is honestly by default, all of us as investors, we would like to see not only inflation come down, but this so-called soft landing where we don't fall into a recession, but just see it slow enough where the Fed can pause. This all comes to a head on Tuesday. I don't mean to overstate it, but it's that important. It really is. We're running up into an interesting indicator too. Not an indicator, but something that happened last fall. I don't know if you remember this, but something happened in mid-August where it looked like the market was turning. Okay, the first half of the year through June, the market had fallen like 19-some percent. We almost hit 20%, like 19.5%. And then July was really strong. And mid-August was really strong. We made up half the loss, the 6 months of losses we made up in a month and a half. And then that was it. The sell-off renewed and stocks spiraled to fresh new lows just 2 months later.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Now, back to Dollars and Cents with Dave Simons on KMOX.
Well, you could ask yourself, who's going to win the Super Bowl? I don't know. 1.5-point favorite for the Eagles, which is kind of a pick'em game, if you will. You know, Ben Fredrickson had a really interesting article in the Post-Dispatch today, if you don't mind me talking sports just for a quick second. But he talked about how a lot of St. Louis football fans are torn. So many of us root for the Chiefs because, you know, they're in the state of Missouri and we don't have a football team anymore on this side of the state. So we've just pretty much adopted the Chiefs down the highway. I fall into that camp. And one of the main reasons, and I've talked about this before, is I have huge Kansas connections within my family. In fact, I've lived in Kansas for a number of years in various cities. Both my parents are from Kansas. One went to KU. I'm a Mizzou guy, of course. So there is that connection, and I've been a Chiefs fan since they were around. I mean, since I was a toddler, because of mainly my dad, who was a big Chiefs fan. So I'm all in. Now, what Ben Fredrickson said was, but I can't blame you if you can't stand the Chiefs. You don't want to root for anything out of Kansas City, because it's not like baseball fans root for the Cardinals, although I don't, to me, that's not a connection because they still have a baseball team. But I think the big one is, hey, where was the Hunt family, who owns the Chiefs, in coming to our defense when the NFL was talking about maybe moving the Rams? They just kind of acquiesced, and whether it's true or not, but the theory is because then the Chiefs would have the entire region to themselves, and they could bring in even more business of having all these St. Louis football fans. Maybe so. So it'll be interesting to see if there was a poll. Okay, in St. Louis, how many of you are rooting for the Chiefs? How many of you want the Eagles to win? And how many of you simply don't care? And there are a lot of you raising your hands on that third one. Before we go any further, the disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed are those by me, Dave Simons, and are not those of UBS Financial Services, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. UBS reserves the right, to the extent permitted under applicable law, to retain and monitor all communications taking place through this program. All content, information, and opinions herein should be regarded as being general in nature and provided for current interest and information purposes only. It should not be construed as an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy nor recommend any security. Some content may come from third parties who are unaffiliated with UBS, and UBS has no control or responsibility over these third parties or their opinions, information, or materials. All right. Before we left, a little bit of a tease about this important economic piece of data coming out on Tuesday. What has concerned Wall Street and investors more than any other item, economic issue, over the past year? Think about it. Okay, time's up. Inflation and the Fed's desire to slowly bring it back down to an acceptable level. For them, it's 2%. I think that's too low. I think that's a little too aggressive. I think they could bring it down 2.5 to 3% and we'd still be okay, but that's not my call. Jay Powell didn't ask me. So they would love to get it back to pre-pandemic levels of around 2%. Well, the January CPI number comes out Tuesday. And if you go back and look at the previous days of when the CPI was announced, the markets have gyrated wildly, not just that day, but in the ensuing days, as the market tries to adjust for the most recent data. And embedded in that is the market trying to figure out how the Fed reads the CPI number and what the Fed may or may not do because of that number. So here we go again. We've got, could this be a collision course? It could be if this CPI number comes in too hot. Because as I mentioned before, up until this past week, the market got off to an unbelievably strong start. Great turnaround from 2022, the biggest down year we've had since 08, the worst bond market ever, real estate starting to soften, which, by the way, I'm going to get to. I don't know about this hour, but certainly in the second hour. And so, and greed coming back in that I had just talked about. Meme stocks all jumping up again, which I do not like to see. And now we've got a CPI number coming out. Keep this number in mind. 6.2%. 6.2% inflation. That is the consensus number of all the economists taken together and the average consensus prediction for the January CPI inflation number that comes out Tuesday is 6.2%. That is a continuation of a decline because the December number that came out in January was 6.5%. A little bit of a drop, maybe not as aggressive as the Fed and the rest of us would like, but it still is a step in the right direction. I went back and looked at the peak of inflation, which was last June of 22. That's when the official CPI inflation number hit 9.1%. Now in July, then it fell 8.5. Now listen to these numbers here. You'll notice something. 9.1. 8.5, August is 8.3, September is 8.2. So inflation throughout last summer stayed stubbornly high. It was coming down, but not nearly as quickly as we would have liked. And that's why that bear market, even though it got some reprieve now and then, we never really got comfortable that it was over because those inflation numbers, even though they were coming down, not fast enough, 9.1, 8.5, 8.3, 8.2. But then starting in October, the last three, we've really seen a bigger drop. From 8.2 in September, it fell to 7.7 in October, all the way to 7.1 in November, and then 6.5 in December. So basically, you're going from 8.2 to 6.5 in 3 months. That's the kind of decline that the Fed certainly wants to see. And for those of us who are invested, we'd all like to see. Because the Fed then would interpret a rapid decline in inflation as maybe their dirty work is over. And maybe they will raise one more time in March, just a quarter of 1%, 25 basis points, and then maybe they'll stop. But this is why the CPI number on Tuesday is so important, because what if the opposite happens? What if it's not 6.2? What if it's 6.4? Even 6.3, the market wouldn't like. Because we got that hot job number, that unemployment number that came out. Remember that one? The expectation was for like 187,000, and it came in at 515,000 a week ago Friday. Just a ridiculously hot number, and the market did not like it. That helped lead to the sell-off last week. You cannot have hot economic inflation numbers while the market's trying to move up. The two cannot go hand in hand right now. For this market to continue to move higher, you have to have a softening of economic data. You have to. So the last thing this market needed was that really strong jobs number that came out Friday. Good for the economy and good for all of us. But guess what? Wall Street doesn't care about us as workers. Wall Street cares about an unemployment number that might go a little higher. It's draconian, I know, but that's the way it works. Wall Street cares about inflation going down. And what Wall Street really wants, which is honestly by default, all of us as investors, we would like to see not only inflation come down, but this so-called soft landing where we don't fall into a recession, but just see it slow enough where the Fed can pause. This all comes to a head on Tuesday. I don't mean to overstate it, but it's that important. It really is. We're running up into an interesting indicator, too. Not an indicator, but something that happened last fall. I don't know if you remember this, but something happened in mid-August where it looked like the market was turning. Okay, the first half of the year through June, the market had fallen like 19-some percent. We almost hit 20%, like 19.5%. And then July was really strong. And mid-August was really strong. We made up half the loss, the 6 months of losses we made up in a month and a half, and then that was it. The sell-off renewed, and stocks spiraled to fresh new lows just 2 months later. Folks, guess where we were as of February 2nd? We did the exact same thing. The loss, the bottom of the market that it had occurred last fall, we've retraced half of it to the upside. And it failed last week. I'm not making a prediction that it's going to follow exactly what we saw from August through the fall. But it's on my radar. And again, we get to this CPI inflation number on Tuesday. If the market doesn't like it, we could fall into the same decline situation that we saw. So, man, there is going to be a lot to write in my weekly commentary on Friday. I don't know when I'm going to have a dollars and cents show again. It's not next week, and I don't know the next time. But I do write a weekly commentary that goes out to about 1,000 of you as KMOX subscribers. And so I'll be trying to put all of this in perspective based on this Tuesday report, what it means for all of us as investors. But for now, near term, like as in this very second at 3:46 in St. Louis, I've got to take another commercial break. Stay with us. I've got plenty more coming right up.
Now, back to Dave Simons at Dollars and Cents on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Boy, this reminds me of my run this morning. Did a long run, and I put on a loop of U2 songs for about an hour and a half. Here we go again. I might actually start losing my breath here just in memory of this morning. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Dollars and Cents Show. Dave Simons along with you. Yeah, let's completely change up the pace here. We started out having a little fun with the Super Bowl, then turned more serious about current market conditions, and then this very important CPI release coming out Tuesday. I want to interrupt for something that's a little off the beaten path and a little fun to talk about, because at the beginning of the next hour, I hate to do this, but I've never been shy about presenting all sides. So one of the more bearish opinions on the market is coming from a really well-respected and well-known economist out there. And I just feel like I've got to share it because I read his research almost every day. And he's really, really bearish. I'll give you some of my own opinions along the way. I don't share his bearishness, but I can't discount it because he does have a lot of experience and a pretty good track record. So please stay with us. I don't mean to scare anybody off. I think we all need to hear all opinions on both sides. We need to hear what the bullish folks have to say. And a lot of times it makes complete sense. And you say, I get it. That makes a lot of sense. But we can look over on the bearish side and look at their research and come up with the same conclusion and say, man, why wouldn't it come out that way? And then we can base our own decision-making within our own portfolios after we kind of come up with our, we look at our own plan of risk tolerance and then how we want to maneuver through that. But I'll dig into that in the second hour. Until then, what did I want to be when I grew up? We all get asked that when we're in elementary school. Hey, little Johnny, what do you want to be? I want to be a firefighter. Well, guess what I wanted to be? An over-the-road truck driver. I kid you not. True story. And it was all because we had one of those, it's the day where maybe somebody's parent comes in and it's, you know, listen to, it's like a career day, I guess. And it was an over-the-road truck driver guy. And I was fascinated by his description of the open road and, you know, seeing all these cities. And I just, my brain, I think it was sixth grade, I'm pretty sure. And my brain just focusing on seeing the country and being free. And I've always been a loner anyway, even here at the ripe old age of 60. That's just my personality. I'm not the most social guy in the world, I admit. And so even when I was in sixth grade, that was very, very appealing to me, just being out on my own, out on the open road. Now, I don't know when that feeling went away. Was it a week later or 5 years? I don't know, but it did leave me. I tell you that because there's a survey or a poll, if you will, of young kids today. And what do you want to be? Little Johnny, little Susie, when you grow up? And I was really fascinated by the results. There were top 20, which I won't go through all of them. Thank you very much. But man, oh man, you pick out how culture has changed. That's no surprise. But how much of it is being influenced by social media and not in a good way? So the first choice actually was a surprise for me. And I have a feeling it's always been in the top 10. Even when I was a kid, so many kids aspired to be able to fly, you know, Boeing TWAs and this new thing called a 747. And as kids, we got to even go up in the cockpit and see all the buttons and the panels. And we were just enthralled by it. So a lot of kids wanted to grow up and be a pilot. Well, even today in 2023, that came out as number one. I like that. And we know there's a shortage in the industry, so that's good. Number two, interestingly enough, is a writer. A writer. I've never seen that come up that high. And again, I think that's the new culture because of the internet and people now can just self-publish. Number three, where this came out of, a dancer. Dancer. I'm sure some people can make money, but maybe it's not, no one cares about money. I just want to grow up and be a dancer. Now get this. Number four, a YouTuber. Number five is just a generic entrepreneur. Number six, actor. Then here we go again. Number seven, influencer. Oh my goodness. It's kind of like a YouTuber in a way, isn't it? An influencer, YouTuber. Let me go ahead here. Number 12, a blogger. That's what I want to do. I want to be a blogger. But then you have some traditional things in there. I love the fact that teacher is number 10. And then I know they go together, but I guess they've separated it. Number 14 is professor. So obviously that would be more secondary education. But folks, if you are teachers out there, like my dad was, a college professor, hats off to you. I don't think the average person understands the real work that you do put into that profession. Too many people think, oh, you get 3 months off. You go in at 7:30 and you go home by 4. That's not what I saw growing up. So, and I would say that you all have the biggest influence on our kids than any. And that's been a big debate here lately, which, of course, we won't get into those kinds of social issues. But there you go. Something a little fun. Don't go anywhere, folks. Second hour, we'll return shortly, and we will get into some bearish sentiment, but there's something to learn with. So stay with us.
Now, back to Dave Simons at Dollars and Cents on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Boy, this reminds me of my run this morning. Did a long run, and I put on a loop of U2 songs for about an hour and a half. Here we go again. I might actually start losing my breath here, just in memory of this morning. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Dollars and Cents Show. Dave Simons along with you. Yeah, let's completely change up the pace here. We started out having a little fun with the Super Bowl, then turned more serious about current market conditions, and then this very important CPI release coming out Tuesday. I want to interrupt for something that's a little off the beaten path and a little fun to talk about, because at the beginning of the next hour, I hate to do this, but I've never been shy about presenting all sides. So one of the more bearish opinions on the market is coming from a really well-respected and well-known economist out there. And I just feel like I've got to share it because I read his research almost every day. And he's really, really bearish. I'll give you some of my own opinions along the way. I don't share his bearishness, but I can't discount it because he does have a lot of experience and a pretty good track record. So please stay with us. I don't mean to scare anybody off. I think we all need to hear all opinions on both sides. We need to hear what the bullish folks have to say. And a lot of times it makes complete sense. And you say, I get it. That makes a lot of sense. But we can look over on the bearish side and look at their research and come up with the same conclusion and say, man, why wouldn't it come out that way? And then we can base our own decision making within our own portfolios after we kind of come up with we look at our own plan of risk tolerance and then how we want to maneuver through that. But I'll dig into that in the second hour. Until then, what did I want to be when I grew up? We all get asked that when we're in elementary school. Hey, little Johnny, what do you want to be? I want to be a firefighter. Well, guess what I wanted to be? An over-the-road truck driver. I kid you not. True story. And it was all because we had one of those, what was it? It's the day where maybe somebody's parent comes in and it's, you know, listen to, it's like a career day, I guess. And it was an over-the-road truck driver guy. And I was fascinated by his description of the open road and, you know, seeing all these cities. And I just, my brain, I think it was sixth grade, I'm pretty sure. And my brain just focusing on seeing the country and being free. And I've always been a loner anyway, even here at the ripe old age of 60. That's just my personality. I'm not the most social guy in the world, I admit. And so even when I was in sixth grade, that was very, very appealing to me, just being out on my own, out on the open road. Now, I don't know when that feeling went away. Was it a week later or 5 years? I don't know, but it did leave me. I tell you that because there's a survey or a poll, if you will, of young kids today. And what do you want to be, little Johnny, little Susie, when you grow up? And I was really fascinated by the results. There were top 20, which I won't go through all of them. Thank you very much. But man, oh man, you pick out how culture has changed. That's no surprise. But how much of it is being influenced by social media and not in a good way? So the first choice actually was a surprise for me. And I have a feeling it's always been in the top 10. Even when I was a kid, so many kids aspired to be able to fly, you know, Boeing TWAs and, ooh, this new thing called a 747. And as kids, we got to even go up in the cockpit and see all the buttons and the panels. And we were just enthralled by it. So a lot of kids wanted to grow up and be a pilot. Well, even today in 2023, that came out as number one. I like that. And we know there's a shortage in the industry, so that's good. Number two, interestingly enough, is a writer. A writer. I've never seen that come up that high. And again, I think that's the new culture because of the internet, and people now can just self-publish. Number three, where this came out of, a dancer. Dancer. I'm sure some people can make money, but maybe it's not, no one cares about money. I just want to grow up and be a dancer. Now get this, number four, a YouTuber. Number five is just a generic entrepreneur. Number six, actor. Then here we go again. Number seven, influencer. Oh my goodness. It's kind of like a YouTuber in a way, isn't it? An influencer, YouTuber. Let me go ahead here. Number 12, a blogger. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to be a blogger. But then you have some traditional things in there. I love the fact that teacher is number 10. And then I know they go together, but I guess they've separated it. Number 14 is professor. So obviously that would be more secondary education. But folks, if you are teachers out there, like my dad was, a college professor, hats off to you. I don't think the average person understands the real work that you do put into that profession. Too many people think, oh, you get 3 months off. You go in at 7:30 and you go home by 4. That's not what I saw growing up. So, and I would say that you all have the biggest influence on our kids than any. And that's been a big debate here lately, which, of course, we won't get into those kinds of social issues. But there you go. Something a little fun. Don't go anywhere, folks. Second hour, we'll return shortly, and we will get into some bearish sentiment, but there's something to learn with. So stay with us.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.